put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you almost must also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And I did bring
Thank you, Chris. It's always good to be humbled before you get up to speak. It's a joy to be with you. I come to you with a very thankful heart. It has been a blessing to be in partnership with you over the last 3 years in the work of the gospel at BU. I'm going to bring a little bit of an update about my life, my ministry, and then share in a devotional in where you guys are going in the study of the supremacy of Christ in Colossians, and we're going to talk about what that looks like in community. So let's start with a life update, and see if we could get, there we go. Like Chris said, I'm 29 years old, and I did wait a while to find the right one. And I don't know if it was, you know, bagel type thing, but, you know, I was waiting for the right one. And look at my fiance, Rachel, who God brought to Boston last year, and we worked in ministry together. We led a freshman Bible study together, and we realized, hey, we really like working together. Let's do this for the rest of our lives. And so on August 13th, up in the Adirondacks of New York, we went on a hike, and I proposed, and she said yes. And so not only is she a wonderful, godly woman, but she's also the most beautiful woman in Boston. And so I come to you with a very thankful heart and with that update as well. I recently moved to this beautiful house in Austin, which is 3 miles away from Boston University. I get to campus daily on this sweet ride. This is my 1977 Laser Sport 50 moped. Mothers, I assure you that I wear a helmet, but for the photo op, we had to make it look as cool as possible. I work for the Navigators, which is, how many people know who the Navigators are? Let's see a show of hands. All right. How many people have never heard of the Navigators? Awesome. The Navigators are a non-denominational Christian missions organization that's been around since the 1930s. And over its time, it has been striving to make disciples, helping people know Christ and make them known. It's been known mostly for its discipleship ministry and its impact through scripture memory and one-on-one ministry. And it's been really a joy to be serving with the Navigators. They started with military ministry and then branched out into a lot of different missions. There's 11 different missions, collegiate and 20s. The nations, the Navigators are in 110 nations. In the collegiate department, they're on 170 U.S. college campuses, and also in the collegiate spreads into the nations, and there's many, many Navigators campuses around the world. So it's a really great organization to be a part of and a great mission as they strive to advance the gospel of Jesus and his kingdom into the nations through spiritual generations of laborers living and discipling among the lost. And that idea of how you can use your life to invest in someone else, and that life is going to have a ripple effect that could reach the nations is a vision that I think God had been preparing in my heart for years before I was called to the Navigators, before I even knew about the Navigators, through my work at Deerfoot Lodge and my investment with students at Williams, and just the ways that God had been building that into me, that DNA of wanting to see Him use my life for His purposes of advancing the gospel through relationships. So I'll tell you a little bit about what we're looking at, what we're facing in Boston. And I think, you know, being in this college town in New England, you might be able to identify in some of the challenges that we're seeing. So I'm going to share some of the challenge of ministering at BU, but also some of the encouragements and the joys. And that was one of the things I really was excited about coming here today, because we're partners in this. As you guys have been contributing financially and in prayer, I truly see you as partners in the work that we're doing in Boston. So let me give you this update. This is a study done by the Barna Group, and I just thought it would be interesting to share with you. It's a study they've been doing over the last 10 years about the most post-Christian cities in the United States. And they defined it by who meets 60% of their criteria for post-Christian. And I just thought it was interesting that Albany and Boston were the number 2 and 3 cities. And as I was coming here to Williamstown, I was thinking about you guys being right in the middle of that. You know, also Burlington, Providence, Portland, Maine, and Hartford, Connecticut in the top 10. There's something interesting about the challenge of being ministers of the gospel here in New England. One of the ways we see this is how people identify religiously for themselves. And the percentage of people that have identified as in the category of non-religious or no religion. And they've tracked this over the years through the statistics. And this is kind of what it looks like. In the 1940s, only 5% would have identified as non-religious or no religion. It went up to 8% in the 90s, 15% in 2008, and up to 19% in 2015. This is all ages and across the United States. Under 30, this jumps up to 32%. I work at Boston University, and we did a mini case study of this year. Every year we do surveys to meet new students and to introduce them to our ministry and to the Navigators. And so this year we had a fresh, cool idea of doing a spinny wheel for free prizes in exchange for a spiritual survey. So we set up in a couple different places on Comm Ave in Boston. We advertised free prizes, spin the wheel and win free prizes. Who wouldn't want to do that? So they would win prizes like Frisbees and T-shirts and pens and cups, and a lot of students filled out that survey. This is the freshman activities fair. So we're a Boston University group. So we have a table at Splash, what they call it. And so this is us also doing our survey at Splash. And 959 students connected with us over the first 2 weeks of school this fall. And filled out this spiritual life survey and got to know us as the Navigators. And it's really actually been fun as we gave away hundreds of T-shirts that we see people advertising the Boston University Navigators all around campus at the gym and stuff like that. So here's some of the results. The first question we asked was, how do you identify, what faith do you identify with? 44% said Christian. 36% said no religious, and then 7% Jewish, and 6 and 3% for Buddhist and for Hindu, Buddhist and Muslim. So the 36%, that's even higher than the average nationwide. The next question we asked was, how important is your spiritual life? 26% said it was very important. The majority, 42%, said sort of important, and 31% of the students, almost 300 students, said their spiritual life is not very important to them. The next question we asked everybody was had to do with their familiarity with the Bible. And 23% said that they were familiar. 49% said not very, or said sort of familiar, and 28% said sort of familiar. From there, we kind of split. We used a Google form. So based on their answer, we were able to take them down different tracks. So students that identified as Christians, we then asked them if they were interested in being involved with a Christian group and be involved in a Bible study. And this is kind of what shows that. So 56% of the students had identified as not Christian. So the other 44% identified as Christian, and about half of them said they would be interested in a Christian fellowship, and half of them said they were not interested. So even of that 44% Christian, a lot of them aren't even involved in getting involved with a Christian group. And then that shrinks a little bit with Bible study. So of the total population, only 17% are interested in Bible study. But that's 158 students that we met in the first 2 weeks of school that are interested in Bible study. So that gives us a great opportunity to reach out. We also didn't just end the survey for the other students. We asked how many of the students that were non-religious or maybe of a different faith would be interested in getting in having a discussion about faith, an open discussion about faith, and quite a few of them said they would. And so we're looking into ways that we can have a conversation that has multi-faith, have a multi-faith conversation. We're going to be trying to pull something together in November with that. Because I'm a man and I run some of the men's ministry at BU, I'm interested in narrowing it down to even finding what does it look like in terms of freshmen. We really wanted to connect with a lot of freshmen and be a landing pad for them so that students that come from Christian upbringings and stuff could find a place that they could land, find community, and grow in Christ. And but only 2%, 22 freshmen men out of the 959 students that we surveyed, there were only 22 freshmen men that were interested in Bible study. So that's one of the challenges that we face. And one of the prayers I would ask you to pray for us is for the men that we're reaching out to and the men of our generation that in largely are just not very interested in connecting with community or pursuing a relationship with God. But that's also great that we have 22 guys to reach out to. There are 294 students that requested more information about the Navigators. So that is quite encouraging. We really have had a wonderful fall and have had the best launch that we've had in the 4 years that I've been at BU. We have 47 students that came out to our fall retreat last weekend, and it was an amazing weekend that I wanted to show you a couple pictures of and encourage you with some of the stories of the ministry. One of the verses that we use as a guide is from Acts. It's how the early church approached their ministry. It was, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and the breaking of the bread and the prayers. And this is something that we want our ministry to look like. So even on our fall retreat this past weekend, we had three sessions of teaching about how these students could grow in their relationship with God and with their community and go out together on mission. So we had great teaching. We also had meals together. We cooked together. We eat together. This is biblical. It is good for community to eat together. And we prayed together. This was really special, and I'll talk a little bit more about this later. But we had a time of commissioning and prayer over the students as they are going out into the mission field of Boston University, where there are so many lost. And we want to see these students having an impact in and through their lives. And so we had a really cool commissioning where we prayed for them. This is one of my main tools of ministry. This is Spikeball. And I want to talk a little bit about evangelism and how I do some evangelism on campus. There's a Celtic way of evangelism, which is you have to belong in order to believe. I think a lot of people think about evangelism in that you have to believe in order to belong. But we in our ministry, we like to flip that and say you have to belong in order to believe. On the right is Michael. He's the president of our ministry. He's one of my key guys that I've been meeting with since he was a freshman. And on the left is Dylan and Spencer. These are my lifting partners last year. And they've been friends of mine, friends of Michael's, for a couple years now. We met Dylan because we were playing Frisbee, and we pulled him away from going on a run to play Frisbee with us. And he is now in friendship and relationship with us. I got to pray for him before his finals last year because he thought he was going to be failing physics. So a lot of you guys could maybe identify with that. But we have a friendship. We have a relationship. They know that they belong. They know that they're cared about, that they're cared for, even though right now they aren't following Christ. And I think that's really important. So evangelism is a big part of what I do on campus. Discipleship is another big part. Could I have my friends Peter and Jeffrey stand up for a second? Could you guys just welcome Peter and Jeffrey? I am so proud of these guys, and I'm so overjoyed that they came with me here this weekend. Peter and Jeffrey are sophomores. They got connected with our ministry last year. And this is a story. This is a reminder of why I do what I do. You know, I met these guys, and we started meeting together. We started reading the Bible together. One of my goals last year for them was to help them, help God become more real in their lives. I wanted them to be following Christ. My life verse is, come, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. I want to respond to that call from Jesus. I want to follow Jesus, and I want him to make me become a fisher of men. And I want the guys that I'm meeting with to follow Christ, and I want Christ to make them become fishers of men. And so these guys, we meet together, we pray together, we read the Word together. I'm working with them this year on the discipline of scripture memory, that the Word will dwell richly in them, and that God will use that. Even as sophomores, these guys are stepping up in major ways in leadership in our ministry. Last weekend, Peter led worship for our ministry, and that was really amazing. He and another student are leading a prayer night on Wednesdays. That's totally by student initiative, and students are coming together to pray for the campus, to pray for the city. Jeffrey and Peter both are helping out with the Frenection, the freshman Bible study that they were a part of last year. And now this year, they are helping to lead the 18 freshmen that we have connected with our ministry. And they're meeting with them and following up with the men. They are a huge encouragement. And they are a picture of why we are in this partnership together to reach out to students like Peter and Jeffrey and see the Lord grab hold of their hearts, call them, and lead them, and have a huge impact through their lives. These are just two of the 11 student leaders that I'll be talking a little bit more about. All right. That was my update for ministry, and now I want to share with you a little bit about some thoughts on the Word of God. I want to read this passage again, and then we're going to dive into a couple thoughts about it. Colossians 3:12. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. If one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let me pray. Dear God, I pray that you will give us ears to hear what you have for us today, and that you will speak through me what you want. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So you've been thinking about the supremacy of Christ, and I think this is a beautiful picture of what a Christ-centered community looks like. Today we're going to explore three elements that we see described in this passage. What their identity is, their unity, and their activity. We're going to look at their identity and who they are, their unity in how they relate, and their activity in what they do and how they do it. And one note on this is that I think the order is extremely important. And I think we see how Paul lays it out as he starts with identity. He then moves into unity, and then he talks about activity. So their identity. Let's look deeper into verse 12. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. Chosen ones, holy, which means set apart from sin, set apart for God, set apart to God, and dearly loved. You guys, trusting what the Bible says about our identity is extremely important. Trusting what it says about our identity comes before the list of the things that we are to do. And this is grounded in the work of Christ. Throughout Colossians, Paul's been talking a lot about the gospel and what happens because of the work of Christ. Here's a couple of the verses. 1:13, he's delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And another one, verse 1:21, and you who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he is now reconciled in his body by his flesh. We were once in darkness, we are now in light. We were once alienated and hostile in mind, we are now reconciled. That is through the work of Christ, what Christ did on the cross. Well, because of that, that changes how we approach ministry. We look at Jesus' baptism, as it talks about in Matthew 4 and Mark 1, and all the Gospels have an account of Jesus' baptism. And when he comes out of the water, the Spirit comes down on him in the form of a dove, and a voice out of heaven says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And then Jesus is tempted and he begins his ministry. This declaration, the stamp of approval by God about Christ's identity, was before he went out into ministry. And I think that's something that each of us could identify with, both in the example of Christ, but also in the teaching of Paul that we see here in Colossians, that each of us, both individually and corporately, can believe and trust the identity that the Bible tells us we have because of Christ. We are chosen ones. We are holy. We are beloved. I think we sometimes need to hear that and embrace that. Jesus or God saying, David, you are my son in whom I am well pleased. We've been looking with our student leadership team. Like I said before, I'm in charge this year of our student leadership team, which has been an amazing opportunity for me to lead some really amazing students. We have 11 students, sophomores, juniors, and seniors on that team, and we're looking at training in ministry. I want them to be training in ministry fueled by the gospel. And so we've been looking at this very topic of how our identity in Christ fuels and gives change to where we put our effort, that our effort is directed towards trusting what the Bible says about us is true, trusting what it says about God, trusting what it says about our lives, and that fuels us in us going out on a mission. So the implication changes our lives when we embrace that. And so we come to Christ individually, you know, as we embrace the gospel, but we live in Christ corporately. And so I think accepting that identity frees us and gives us the ability to relate to each other, as it talks about next in the passage. So let's go on. The rest of verse 12 through 14. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must forgive. And above all, put on love, which binds everything together. This is rooted in the love of Christ. Talking about the supremacy of Christ. The way we relate to each other is rooted in the love of Christ. The way we see it lived out in his ministry. The way we see him engage with the people around him. The way we see him go to the cross. The way we see him forgive. The way we see him heal. Our unity as a body, you know, as Paul is talking to the Colossian church, he's talking to them about how they relate to each other, and we could read that also in how we relate to each other, is empowered by the love of Christ. It's because of what we've experienced. You know, it says we are able to forgive. We must forgive because we were forgiven. We have to embrace what the love that we've experienced from God, and that's how we start treating each other. Now, I know that they say forgiveness is a really nice idea until you have to forgive someone. I haven't been at CBC in 4 years as a member, but I'm sure that there's things that happen in the church that as you guys relate to each other, that forgiveness needs to happen. And sometimes that's just in your heart, that you need to forgive someone in your heart. Doesn't mean you have to go and tell them what you're forgiving them of, but sometimes you just need to forgive someone in your heart, and then that's going to change the way that you see them, the way that you engage with them. Maybe instead of avoiding someone, you're going to, once you've forgiven them from your heart, you'd be able to engage with them with the love of Christ. And we see this at BU as we want to be this kind of community in a missional way. We have this unique opportunity that we are like this little Christian community in the midst of a sea of unbelievers. And how we relate to each other is observed by those around us. We want to be a community of love that invites and embraces others into that community, and that they experience a unity that is unique, a unity that's not of this world, that they experience the love of Christ and that changes the way that they see Christ. That's part of our missional strategy at BU, to be a community of love. And last, we see activity, what they do and how they do it. Let's read on. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. First, I think there's a change in attitude. We approach life with a trust that creates peace. I heard D.A. Carson speak last year, and he said, if he were to summarize the whole Bible into two words, it would be trust me. Trust me. When we live out of the trust, when we live out of our identity that we believe that God has told us, that creates peace in our hearts and in our lives. It also talks about thankfulness, that we have an attitude of thankfulness as Christians because of what Christ has done for us. And then our activities are done in the name of Christ, in the way that we teach each other, admonish each other, in the way that we sing praises to God, which is what it's all about, right? There's three things that are eternal: God, God's word, and the souls of men. And to the degree that we engage in those three things, we're engaging with eternity. So teaching one another, that's something that I talked a little bit about, even as I mentioned Peter and Jeffrey, as they're two of the guys that I meet with on a weekly basis. We get together and we are learning how to follow Christ together. So one of the ways we're doing that now is through scripture memory. And I'd be happy to invite you to quiz them on their verses after the service, as they've been memorizing verses about Christ being the center of their lives. And we try to create a community like that at Boston University, where teaching is a part of that, where worship is part of that, we're encouraging each other. And when I talked about our retreat last week and how at the end of it we had a commissioning service, I thought that was really good. A lot of times you see pastors and missionaries commissioned before they go out, but a lot of times we don't see students commissioned or teachers commissioned or businessmen or engineers or just lay people. But, you know, how are they spending their time and how are they connecting with their mission out as followers of Christ? And so we had this time of commissioning at the end of our fall retreat where we had different groups of students come up. We had all the students that were in health services, all the pre-med students come up, and we blessed them and we prayed for them. We had all the freshmen come up. We had 18 freshmen on our fall retreat. This is praise the Lord. And we prayed for them. We prayed for them and their relationships with those in their dorms and on their halls and in their classes. We prayed for all the seniors. Any seniors here today? Couple. So the seniors at BU are a little bit, they're asking big questions. What do I do next? And we prayed for them and we blessed them. We want to gather together. We want to find ways that we can teach each other, that we could encourage each other, as we go out to where we live, to where we work, and to where we play. CBC, you guys are the church. You guys are a community. You guys have an identity as the children of God. You guys need to have a unity in relating to each other with the love of Christ. And you need to be involved in each other's lives in such a way that you're able to teach each other, to get each other into the Word, that the Word is dwelling in you richly, to warn each other, to admonish each other, to encourage each other, to bless each other. That's what it looks like to be a Christ-centered community. This passage is a beautiful picture of a Christ-centered community. So this morning, in summary, we looked at our sense of identity, who we are, our sense of unity, how we relate, and our activity, what we do and how we do it. This is a beautiful picture of Christ's community. I pray that we'll all look like this. I pray that our ministry at BU will look like this. I pray that the CBC will look like this. I'm just so blessed to be here. I'm thankful for you guys. I'm thankful for your partnership in the work of the gospel. Pray for us in Boston. We have a wonderful ministry going, amazing students, huge opportunities, a lot of students that are connected with us that are not yet believing Christ, but they belong. They have a place where they belong. They have a place where they're loved. Pray for us in Boston. Let me pray. Dear God, thank you for your word. Thank you for this opportunity today that we could look at what our identity is, what our unity looks like, and what our activity, how we do our activity in the name of Christ. Lord, I pray that what was from you will be remembered, and that those seeds will grow, and that this community will grow in their love for you, their love for each other, and their missional impact in Williamstown. I pray that there will be a ripple effect that will reach the nations. Lord, I pray for the Williams students, that you'll bless them in their schoolwork, that you'll bless them in their relationships with those in their dorms and in their classes. I pray that they will have a unity in their ministry that will draw others to you. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.